been a hard week, hadn't it? Words aren't even adequate. And as Pastor Jeff so wisely said a bit ago, it's necessary to lament. And real lament is always going to be integrated with prophetic truth. Thus, what we have been praying and singing, and what we're going to share here from God's Word for such a time as this. God, help me as I'm here with my friends, my family. Help all of us. And change us. May that begin with me. One of our aspirations here at New Hope Church is that we would find that it would be so of us that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we see in the book of Revelation that in heaven, many tribes and tongues and nations gather together to worship and serve the King, Jesus Christ. And so for us to say we want thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven compels us to emulate that and to be a Christ-centered community for all people, a Christ-centered church that is made up of many nations and many tongues and many tribes. God has burdened us, directed us, compelled us that this will be who we are. And I need to say, as I stand here with you, the dear family of which I am a part, that all of us, various tribes, are really, really hurting. It's unfathomable to me, should any of us not be, because of what we've seen in the headlines this week. But of us tribes that are hurting, there are two that bear a unique measure of human pain. Two tribes uniquely wounded. One is that fraternity that we know of as our law enforcement officers. Men and women in uniform, who choose, they're not born into that fraternity, born into that tribe. They self-select from a variety of other tribes to flow into that fraternity, to get up every day and live life in the public view, ideally protecting and serving. It is beyond reprehensible what has happened in Dallas and at other places across our land. My father was a cop. He was a military police officer. After that, he was a patrolman in Berkeley, California. And then he went back to his home state and was a police officer in Columbia, South Carolina. And then, for many years, he was a federal agent, serving undercover and oftentimes far, far away from his little boys and his wife, tackling challenges that are beyond our imagination. He's my hero. In our church family, we have law enforcement personnel. You are our heroes. We love you. We respect you. We believe in you and we grieve with you. And you need to hear that from all of us here. And we have another tribe. Another tribe with a deep wound. A tribe that can't self-select whether it's going to be a tribe. Like many other tribes, you're born into this tribe. And it is that family of African Americans. A tribe that worships here amongst many tribes. This tribe has an historical, generational hurt stretching back centuries. And we disciples of Jesus Christ are remiss if we do not acknowledge the reality, which is the woundedness within that tribe. In the days of old, in the book of Judges, the 12 tribes of Israel found themselves caught up in a great tumult. The majority of the tribes coalesced over here. One of the tribes was by itself, isolated to the side. There was no end of tension between the majority and the one by itself. It was a costly tension that endured for generations. Many people died because of the tension. At some point in God's providence, he burdened the majority to move toward the one in solitude, to move toward the one isolated. Judges chapter 21 tells us about it. Just listen briefly if you would. Please, dear friends, listen, listen, listen. The people of the majority tribes had compassion on Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, for a breach had been made. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching congregation. That means every word in this love letter matters and has weight. The word for compassion ought to trip us up. It tells us that the people of those majority tribes felt within themselves a deep, grievous, repentant sorrow for Benjamin. It was a deep regret. It was a pain, a suffering on behalf of the solitary tribe. That's what that word means in the Hebrew. A grievous, sorrowful repentance. Oh, that God would move all of us. That's what we, in whatever tribes we find ourselves, would have toward those African Americans making up that tribe. It's fitting that when it is declared that the people had compassion on the tribe of Benjamin, the very next line says, then the elders of the congregation said, "What shall we do?" It's not enough to be sentimental and to have even deep feelings of sorrow. The natural and appropriate question is, what must we do? What must we do? The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 6 underscores this with these words. He says that disciples must bear one another's burdens. That means that we need to carry the weight that each of us bear. We need to do it together. One another. Together. Together. We must bear each other's weight. And it's not a suggestion. It is in the Greek language of old, in which the Apostle Paul writes, an imperative, a command to the reader, to the listener, to the disciple of Jesus. You are commanded to bear one another's burdens, commanded to carry the weight each of us bear. And the Apostle Paul goes on and he says, bear one another's burdens, for this fulfills the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, as we know from Jesus' own lips, is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, all of our strengths, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That is the law of Christ. And to fulfill that law, we must carry each other's weight. The question begging to be asked is, how? How might we tribes that make up this greater majority demonstrate that sorrowful, repentant grief and pain toward the one tribe, our African American friends? How might we do that? And we need to remember, dear friends, there is no greater portrait of righteousness than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our model for everything under the sun. And so let me ask you, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. And in Matthew chapter 9, we get a glimpse of how it is any one of us might bear the burdens with our African American friends whose pain is pronounced and widespread. Notice with me verse 35 and following. Jesus went throughout all the cities. Now, dear friends, lean in. Give penetrating heed to these words. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Again, lean in, lean in, lean in. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." From this pericope embedded in the Gospel of Matthew, four exhortations rise up, swell up, like a mighty wave rising before it crashes on the beach. Four exhortations to which we must give attention. And the first is, as we wish and desire and choose to love our African American community, the first exhortation is we must see them. We must see them. I want you to notice what it says of Jesus. He saw the crowd. Now, some of us here are tempted to say, "Oh, but Pastor, I rub shoulders with black folk all day long. I'm aware of them. I look at them." Fine. I have to ask myself, do I, and here's a word for you, do I behold them? Do I behold them? Do I not just look at them, but see into them? There is a monumental difference. Do I see them? Do I look into their souls? Do I listen humbly as a learner of their experience? Oh, yes. There's is a tough experience, a kind of suffering, a kind of struggle that stretches back through the ages, centuries, defined in ways that most of the rest of us will never truly understand. Defined by displacement, debasement, dismissal, disadvantage, and disrespect. And what this burden has done for our African American friends is it has placed threads in the fabric of their lives. One of those threads is the thread of fear. One of those threads is the thread of humiliation. One of those threads is the thread of sheer exhaustion. And we need to see that. We need to hear that. It's time, church. And by church, I don't merely mean New Hope Church. I mean the Big C Church scattered across the globe. It's time that we see and that we hear that story. We need to see. Jesus saw the crowds. We need to see. Jesus was moved with compassion. We need to see, and we need to be deeply moved. We need to be deeply moved. It's easy for you and me to think about our hearts being moved. But in actuality, that's not the language coined here. The language isn't of the heart. How's this for uncomfortable? It is of the spleen. The word compassion in this passage relates to a movement within the spleen. Let your mind wander there in a raw way for a moment. It's a deep movement in the gut of a woman, the gut of a man. Not something superficial, not something just kind of up here, but something really deep down. That is what was the sensation Jesus had as he looked at a crowd that was helpless and hurting. Deeply moved. Friends, we must grieve. We must suffer with. We must feel the pain as much as we reasonably can as people who are not in that tribe. We must feel it deeply. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 that we need to be people who grieve, but not like those who have no hope. We have a hope rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from the platform, which is the cross of Christ, we must grieve and suffer with and feel the pain of our brethren in the African American community. We need to see. We need to be moved. And we need to pray earnestly. Jesus says, as he assesses here the scenario of those who are harassed and helpless, as he assesses this, he says, we must pray earnestly to the Lord about this. Here in just a few moments, we're going to have a chance to pray together. This afternoon, we will pray more together. We need to pray that the violence will end. We must pray that justice will reign. We must pray that truth will prevail. We must pray that there will be genuine harmony, a breaking down of the walls of hostility. We must pray that there will be biblical peace or shalom. And we need to pray that it begins with us. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has spent generations complicit in the pain within that tribe because of its passivity and its silence. And it is incumbent upon disciples today, in a world where everyone is crying out for solutions to the troubles of time and space, it's incumbent upon disciples today to say, enough with the silence and passivity. It's time to rise up and come together in Jesus' name. And that begins with the household of God in prayer. We must pray. And fourthly, we must throw ourselves into enduring, meaningful relationship with our African American tribe. We must throw ourselves into enduring, meaningful relationship with our African American tribe. The text here says, we must pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And in the Greek language of old, that phrase send out literally means to throw something. Think of a baseball in your hand and you're going to throw it. We need to throw ourselves into this. That implies a sense of momentum, trajectory, deliberateness. We must throw ourselves into enduring and meaningful relationships. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. Not driven by political posturing. Red state and blue state, Democrat and Republican, right and left, all of that is tiny compared to kingdom citizenship. And it is kingdom disciple citizenship that ought to rule our relationships and our worldview. That transcends the petty and rancorous politics of the American experience. And it ought to define you far above and define me far above how we think about our local citizenship. Also, that meaningful relationship ought not be driven by tribal grandstanding where, well, my tribe is better than your tribe. Well, if that tribe would just figure this out, what's with them? They always this, they always that. Enough! There's no place in the kingdom of God for the tribes of the redeemed to point fingers and accusation. Also, it ought not be driven. It ought not to be driven by just simple ignorance. We must learn to understand. What it is driven by is gospel power. Gospel power. Gospel power that breaks down the walls of hostility because of the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. His blood washes our sins away. His blood unites us, whether we are red or yellow or black or brown or white. His blood brings us together. Gospel power breaks down the walls of hostility. Gospel power is that which helps us to celebrate our fellow image bearers and not castigate them. Gospel power does that. And we have gospel power in this room because of Jesus Christ. We are the redeemed. If anyone should know this, if anyone should model this, it is us because of the work of Christ at Calvary. Gospel power breaks down the walls of hostility. Gospel power helps us to celebrate and honor fellow image bearers, no matter their color, no matter their background, no matter their tribe. And gospel power moves us to see into the souls, moves us to have a deep compassion filled with sorrow that is genuine, regret that is real, repentance that is fruitful. Gospel power forces us to our knees to petition the holy God who takes the one city, the tribe that is solitary, and the other city, the tribes that are multitude, and brings them together in a greater city, the Altura Civitas, that city of God where all the redeemed flourish together with shalom as one. And it begins with us. It begins right here. And it must begin today. It must begin today. We're going to have opportunity to pray. I want to invite you, wherever you are, if you're comfortable, if you're willing to come forward here. Yes, you can pray in your seats, but sometimes for me, just the sheer movement elevates and underscores the reality of my need. Welcome you are to this place. And as you come, I want you to give attention to two things. Repentance. That God would show you what hardness, what blindness, what closed earness you might have to this reality. I'm asking God to show me. And I'm confessing it as He points it out. And I'm repenting of it before a holy Redeemer. The other thing is, besides repentance, resolve. Pray that we will be that church with resolve to exemplify to a watching world biblical harmony, biblical justice, gospel power shaped shalom. The church throughout time has not done this well. God is calling New Hope Church to show how to do this well. Let's rise up, friends, and heed that call. Come, please, and let's talk to God.